repeating now.
White Stripes, Fell in Love with a Girl, XFM 104.9, 5 past 1. Of a Saturday, that's what DJs say.
Of a Saturday, yeah.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
a Saturday.
Fast approaching.
Yeah, time fast approaching 10 past 1. What do you mean it's fast approaching? What's it speeding up, is it? Time speeding up as it gets towards 10 past 2. Shut up.
Ricky Gervais, obviously.
With him, Steve Merchant.
Yeah, and Carl Pilkington.
Don't forget Carl P, the K-man.
He's growing on people now.
People love him. People love
people was thinking, oh, God, oh, he's too much. Now they're going, they love him. Like, same as you. I mean, they still think you talk a little bit too much. But, I mean, they love Carl, you know. But I shouldn't say that because, it rocks your confidence.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
No, I am a man of nerves. Sorry, I'm sidetracked, because I'm looking on the internet here, on the website for XFM.
Yeah.
Because I was, well, partly bored, but also I was looking on there the other day.
That's nothing I said, though, was it?
No. And there were some people commenting on the show.
Yeah.
And one person on there, I'm trying to find it, I don't want to misquote them. But yeah. Basically, as far as I remember, they said that we knew even less about the music than the DJs that are on in the week.
Right. That's... I think that is scientifically impossible.
Yeah.
So they've embarrassed themselves.
Exactly.
I think it's impossible.
You can't know less than the people that are on
I don't
the week.
Think so.
It's trying to multiply zero. You
yeah.
just end up with zero. It doesn't
yeah.
make sense.
I checked with Steve Taylor, the man with the knowledge.
Ooh.
He should know. But I don't think that's really annoying.
But it's so annoying because I'll tell you this, we are passionate about the music and we do know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just because we don't read the back of the CD box.
No,
like
and play the list we're given with the 9 CDs that are on the playlist every month.
There's a piece of paper here.
The guard's looking at me like he's thinking, oh no, we're having a go.
You've given away the magic of radio. You get pieces of paper here, and they've got little bits of details. So, for instance, White Stripes, this is the next single off White Blood Cells, February 2002. Now, it sounds like we know about the music. We
yeah.
read that off a piece of paper.
Exactly. Whereas, when we say about music and we're wrong, at least we... It's because we didn't know.
Exactly.
See?
All right? Don't criticize.
Look at the All-Stars.
So, can I just, I don't want to criticise there, but if I was listening and I'd enjoyed that track and I wanted to know what it was, I wouldn't have understood what you just said.
Really?
Could you just say that again?
Low Fidelity All-Stars.
Yeah, Low Fidelity, because you went Low Fidelity, wasn't it?
I was doing my DJ talk.
No, it's just you didn't open your mouth wide
enough. I can't be bothered.
No, sure.
It's takes too much. Look, listen to him crinkling his little crinkling.
You're not crinkling.
You're not crinkling your Jaffa cakes, are you?
It wasn't going out on air. No one knew.
I bet you're one of those people in cinemas that think you're being really quiet eating a bag of crisps, aren't you? Do you go to cinemas?
I haven't been for a bit, actually.
What do you do, Carl?
Carl!
What's an entertaining evening for you?
Yeah.
What would you do to occupy your time? Your hobbies, for instance.
Might get a video out from prime time.
Right. What would you enjoy that, or would it just be a chore for you?
No, I think things like that.
You really hate doing that.
That's when you really switch off and you forget all your problems and stuff.
Well, you haven't got any
you
problems.
You haven't got any problems, Carl.
You
haven't
don't know that. I put on a face when I'm with you.
You wear a mask. Are you crying inside,
this
Carl?
Is you being the happiest you can be. You're like a clown, aren't you? Oh,
you think I'm like a hard, miserable man? Because there was somebody else...
I don't think you're hard.
...the other day, and like I said to him, I can't watch The Elephant Man because it upsets me.
You're the best! You don't know you're doing it, you're
no,
the best.
Can you watch it?
Well,
always, when it gets that bit where they're carrying him through the village and messing about with his head.
Do you know, this is true, my dad watched that once, and we were watching it, my mum and my sister and that, we were all quite moved by it, almost ridiculous tears, thinking it was a wonderful example of man's inhumanity to man and all that.
Yeah.
And my dad just went, wouldn't he make an amazing novelty rucksack? And it cheapened the film for me, and I've never had this sort of...
Steve was thinking, he's not that ugly.
Blimey, here we go, we were laughing at Carl! Can we focus on one person at a time, Rick, please? Let's destroy him first.
Oh, God. Tell him what you said to me when that record was playing about the Jaffa Cakes. He bought some Jaffa Cakes, which was lovely. He went across the road and he handed out the Jaffa Cakes. And then I went, oh, thanks very much. And then what did you say?
I just remember learning at school. I'm not, like, making fun of the illness, because it's not funny. But they cure cancer.
Jaffa Cakes cure cancer?
Not like, fully.
Right. They just go some way to helping.
Yeah. Do you know, it'll sort of help. If you've got it, you can't say, right, get me a load of Jaffa Cakes.
Right.
But I think it sort of puts a bit of a stop to it if you haven't got it. Do you know what I mean? It's like having vitamin tablets.
Is this medically proven? Should we get Dr. Fox down here to confirm that?
I can't. I actually can't cope. You're just... Play a record.
Can I just... If anyone has ever survived cancer thanks to Jaffa Cakes, please call in.
No, but I didn't say that.
He said, and then he went, it's the orange thing in it. And then he read, he tried to read it. He said, I wonder if it's... And he tried to read out this scientific name. That's my favourite one I've ever done.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
really, really good. Mm. Yeah.
Because I always had a problem with Gomez before, because it always sounded like they were trying to sound like these world-weary, Tom Waits-style, gravelly voice
guys. And they were 20.
And they were like 14, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's great. That's really good. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
well done, boys.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Look at your face. Give it a thumbs up.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Can I play an Elvis Costello track?
You know, I'd love to bloody hear some Elvis Costello. Why are you saying that?
Well, you know why? Because we met him and he's a lovely man.
We did meet him, yeah.
And
without wishing to show off.
I remembered all the great songs he's ever done. I didn't like his spoken word much too much. Mm. And some of his later projects I thought were a little bit... But his own songs from, 1978 to about 1980, I thought were great.
But why did we meet him? I can't just remember why we met him, Rick.
Oh, I wasn't doing that.
No, I can't remember.
We won an award.
Was it because we won another bloody award? Give us awards, please.
Oh God!
Oh, room in my house.
Oh dear, we've only got two.
Yeah,
we haven't got one of those. One of them's the BBC, so he's got a lot of room in his house. And I've got the other one. He let me have it, so he's got no award in his house at all.
Can I?
You can borrow it.
Can I don't know if you, I don't know who you're talking to. Someone. I spoke to Richard Wilson from One Foot in the Grave.
I spoke to him.
Yeah, but he's a lovely bloke. He's a really nice guy. But he said to me, could I do a cameo in the office for £40,000? And I went, could like Ricky do like an amusing pratfall or something? And then you just come in as a cleaner and go, I don't believe it. And he looked at me like, why have you said that? Why have you brought that up? I felt so guilty.
Oh no.
I so wanted to apologise.
But why is it this? We know it's wrong to do
I
that.
Don't know why I said it.
Do we think it's different for me?
Exactly. We're in the business.
I do a new twist on I don't believe it, and they go, you know, that's the best I don't believe it twist I've ever heard.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Why did you? You didn't tell me that.
I know, I felt ashamed. I felt really ashamed.
Oh no.
I was a little bit drunk, I wasn't thinking straight.
Oh,
it was so embarrassing. I saw a friend of mine who said, he said that he was watching a new, it was a sports cast, which it may have been, Formula One racing or something like that. And he was watching, and there's a commentator, and the commentators have got to keep talking all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, and there's the, team there, oh, good to see so-and-so's girlfriend. And he said he thought that it cut to Richard Wilson in the audience, and he went, and the bloke went, and there's One Foot in the Grave.
I love that.
He knew he had to say it then, but he couldn't remember his name or the character.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And there's One Foot in the
Grave. Oh, dear.
That'd be brilliant. And there's The Office. Brilliant.
What, you're putting us alongside One Foot in the Grave, a thing that's been going like 10 years and one of those. You're putting us alongside. It beat us, Steve. Get over it. It beat us in the Comedy Awards.
No, I was just saying that you're an identifiable face if you're at a Formula One event. Old. Grumpy.
One Foot in the Grave.
Yeah, One Foot in the Grave, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, Carl, any thoughts before we move on anything we've said so far?
Elvis Costello.
Well, I'd like to play Red Shoes.
Are we ready for...
Not yet, I'm just saying.
What?
Do you know who his dad is?
Declus McManus. No, Declus Mc...
I don't know his real
Declan name. Declan McManus. He was a big band leader in the 50s or something, wasn't he?
No, he was in the R. White's Lemonade ad.
Oh!
Was he?
Oh, no, there's so much to do with that.
Good, so we're catering there to the audience listening who are 50 and above. Well, I don't, I'm the target audience.
I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Oh. R. White's lemonade. You must remember that.
Never heard that.
Oh, those chimps that drink tea. Oh. Once, right, in school, we had a French dictionary, and ice cold coke on the back of my throat. Singing hello summertime, it's the real thing. Remember that?
No!
Oh, you were there. We translated that into French.
Is that the end of that story?
Yeah!
That's the end of the story.
But I know it in French.
Do it.
But it doesn't make sense, we just literally did the word.
Go on, let me hear it. I can't believe you remember this.
Tres fois, coke sur le derrière, à mon gosh, chante bonjour, estimable Tom,
celebrate. That's the only French you know, isn't it?
It's not even French! We just did it word for word, it doesn't make any sense!
Can you say another word of French? Can you quote
Le
Shakespeare?
De ma tante.
Can you quote anything else? Is there anything else you can quote other than that? So anything else you learned at school that you can remember word for word?
No.
Nothing.
Le chat est sur le mur.
I don't just mean French, I mean anything. English, maybe some a bit of poetry
mean?
That you can remember?
Of course I can, yeah.
Go on, quote a bit of poetry for me.
Like what?
Don't whatever you remember.
What light through on the window breaks, it is the east and Juliet is the sun, the rise west sun and kill the envious moon, it was 26 as well. Oh, anyway. Well, what
doesn't
do you want?
Really count.
What? Shakespeare doesn't count?
No, because that's the rate. Everyone knows that one.
Oh, going what then? What should I know?
The Wind Hover by Gerald Manley Hopkins. Oh, you can't do that one. I caught this morning's Morning Minion, Kingdom of Daylight, Stillfinger,
the Wandering
Falcon and his Riding of the High.
Oh, no, what? No. We haven't done Carl yet.
Wait a minute. K-Man. Anything you can remember from school that you learned that you had to maybe memorise?
French.
Not necessarily French. It could be
anything you can remember. This can be anything you remember from school, apart from the orange stuff stops cancer.
Yeah.
It's not the cough that carries you off, it's the coffin that carries you off in.
Beatles, Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Was that clear?
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah, good. We got to speed this up, because we know... It's funny, because our first link, when we had a go at, like, the library and the playlist, when we played the record, Carl went... You usually do it at the end, when you've run out of stuff.
Yes.
So we started with what's usually our worst bit of material, so I think we've got to turn this show round.
Right.
Carl's been holding this together, to be honest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's Carl's beautiful naivety and, could I say it, Carl, in the nicest way, stupidity.
Yes.
That are keeping the listener...
No, I wouldn't class it as stupid.
I'm only joking. I'm only joking, mate. Of course you're not stupid. Everyone knows you're not stupid. You're sincere, and that can sometimes be, you know, it's frowned upon in this cynical world.
Would you say you've learnt stuff from me in the past few weeks?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Rather like a scientist learns more like a injecting mice.
Yeah.
No, but I've learnt from you about ants and stuff. I think every week, as weeks go on, I feel like...
We're learning from each other.
I'm learning more now than I did when I was at school.
And can I just clarify?
Yeah.
You weren't raised as an experiment and you've escaped from a laboratory. You had regular upbringing in Manchester and that.
Yeah, I didn't go to school much because me mum and dad had a caravan.
Right.
No need, is there? No need when you've got that sort of fun at home.
Yeah. I used to just go away for weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, honestly.
Where'd you used to go?
Port Maddock.
But you...
And, so you didn't go to school much?
No, I did, but not as much as everyone else.
No.
How many holidays were your parents having? Oh, what was their income that they could...
No, well, my dad used to work nights, and he used to travel back, because to Manchester from Wales, it wasn't that far.
And Manchester to Wales?
He used to do four on and four off, so me and my mum were, like, loving it.
But what's Port Meredith?
Port Maddock.
Port Maddock.
Just down the road from Port Merion, where they filmed The Prisoner.
Right.
Oh, so that's cleared up for me. Yeah, location-wise.
So what did you do then? You were in this little two-berth caravan on the back of a Cortina estate.
Right.
Well, what was it? What was the car? I want the... what was
Granada,
it?
Ford Granada.
What are we talking? 1980...
Yeah, 82, 83, 84, 85.
Okay. And you in the car, down there, park up.
Yeah.
What was it? What was Port Meredith?
Port Maddock.
Port Maddock.
I remember Ruth.
It's just a holiday camp.
Yeah.
And at an arcade and a beach. I was loving it.
Yeah.
But so of the 52 weeks of the year, let's assume, I don't know how many weeks you take off normally for holidays anyway, let's just say, I don't know, you go to school 45 weeks of the year maybe? Generally, most kids?
No.
A bit less than that?
42.
How many weeks would you say you actually spent in school?
Well, how many weeks do you have off for summer?
Well, we'll work that out. That's
about
what
I mean. Six off for summer, about three for Easter, about three for Christmas.
Put it this way, I'm surprised I'm not Welsh, to be honest.
Right.
So I was there more than was in Manchester.
Did the school authority not come and check you out?
No, they didn't.
Didn't get Manchester, I suppose, they didn't care, did they?
Not really.
Yeah.
They're lucky you turned up at all. What did you just turn up for the last day when you could take in your best toy? Did you say that when you could take in any game?
Just play with everyone else's. Why, you know, I break my stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, cool.
Well, this does answer a lot, the fact that you spent most of your time on the beach as a kid.
Teachers were no good at my school. We were talking about it yesterday.
So you were teaching them a lesson by going off in the summer. Yeah. Anyway. And did you go to university?
No.
Did you go to sixth form or college?
No.
When did you leave school?
When I was about 15.
Right. What, you just went on holiday and didn't come back?
I just got a job early, didn't I?
Where was it? Port Maddock?
Getting there. No, I was a printer. BM Print in Trafford Park.
Well, that's great. That's a little interview there.
Yeah, a little story.
Next, I'll be interviewing Steve Merchant. What are we playing next?
Bit of Elbow.
Oh, this is fantastic. This is Elbow. Elbow, Asleep in the Back. I think that is absolutely beautiful. I think Elbow are my favourite new group.
We've sang their praises many times and they never phoned to thank us.
Should they?
Yes.
Do they?
Annoying.
Really?
Annoying.
No, they're doing a good job there. I wonder if they found their lyrics. Because I also wanted to write a song from, didn't I? They didn't take me up on that either, Steve.
I'm not sure I'm so keen on them, though. Carl, can I have a Jaffa cake? Because I've just found a lump.
I think... So you don't mean me, do you?
No.
All right, good.
Thanks,
Now, we interviewed Carl there. I think we've learned a little bit more about Carl there.
We did, yeah.
And I'm going to interview Steve now, Carl, because I used to be... You concentrating.
Mm.
Don't put it all in at once.
Carl, chew. Chew before you swallow. Careful.
Alright.
I used to suffer with that a lot.
What?
Not chewing.
The amount of times I nearly died as a kid.
What? Forgetting to chew?
Choking.
Sure.
Mint Imperials. My mum stopped that.
Drinking them with water.
She used to have to hide them.
He's coming out of his shell, isn't he? He's happy Saturdays. He's miserable all week, and he's happy Saturdays, isn't he? Oh, look at him. It's like we get him weekends.
Yeah.
And he's happy because we sort of spoil him, don't we? And he has Jaffa cakes and everything. We let him
and
on the radio.
He has to go live with his stepmother again in the week.
Oh, no.
The ones who listen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Your girlfriend does, doesn't she, I imagine?
She's been away for ages.
I know.
I imagine she just switches off after a while.
But you know, we love you, don't you? We're excited. We talk about you in the week, and we think you're great. So don't just think we're using you as
cheap comedy material. I'd hate you to think that, Carl.
Right, no, I'm going to interview Steve. You know, because I used to be a chat show host. Well, I am a chat show host.
Well,
did you see Ricky Gervais?
No. I worked on it and I didn't watch it. No one
that's
watched
true,
it.
True, that's terrible.
No one watched it.
What do you think, Carl?
I loved it.
See?
Are you thinking of Parkinson?
I didn't know Ricky then, so I'm being fair.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to interview Steve Merchant now.
Okay.
Live on air, XFM 104.9. We should say that more often.
Yes. Ricky Gervais.
Because they might tune and I think they've got a hospital radio by mistake. yeah, Ricky Gervais. Yeah. Okay, Steve Merchant. Great
Hello.
To be here.
Hi.
You're a very tall man,
yes.
If I might say. You're 6'7", aren't you?
Yes.
Was that a bit of a problem at school?
Well, yeah, a few jokes here and there.
Yeah,
a bit of gentle ribbing, but not too problematic.
What's the weather like up there?
Well, exactly.
Skinny, or you're lanky.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And, what about the glasses?
Well, I wear glasses, but again, they wouldn't be a problem, you know.
Look, they didn't call you four eyes, really.
Really. They
didn't call you four eyes, freaky lank thing. They didn't call you freak pot. Freaky the freakish.
All right, I'm
gimp,
not sure I'm enjoying this mix. Oh,
what?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, they didn't do that.
As an interview, I'm not sure that's the best approach.
Okay. And then you left school. You left school.
Yeah.
You went to university.
Mm.
There, were you called freaky,
no,
freak-eyed, four-eyed
git? Four-eyed git.
Are you sure?
Never been called it.
Were you called freaky, lanky, four-eyed, stupid-haired, boggle-eyed, freak-face? Fish-face?
Is your chat show coming back? Is this what you... I never watched it. Is this what you said to people like... I mean, you had some big names on there, didn't you? Tony Hart.
Yeah.
That bloke off Ground Force.
Well, the problem was they'd either heard of me or they hadn't. Either way, they didn't want to...
It was a problem.
Yeah, it was a problem.
Who would you say was the biggest name you had?
They're all dead now.
Okay.
Probably the youngest one survived. I think Penny Smith is still with us.
Right.
Yeah. Biggest name?
You had Savile. You had Daniels, Paul.
Yeah, Paul Daniels, yeah.
But which was the biggest name, would you say, that you had on the show from the
1970s? Peter Purvis,
of course.
He was a joy.
No,
yeah.
But
that's just...
But it's not coming back, though, that show. We're not...
No, not in that form. The Channel 4 wanted to see some changes.
What sort of changes?
Ratings.
Right.
Now I'm going to play a lovely track. Thanks, Steve Merchant.
Thank you.
I'm going to play a lovely track by Elvis Costello. I think one of his first hits, maybe even be his first hit, back in the 70s. This is Red Shoes. Zinger meets Spray, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of him.
New.
Sounds good. It's spelt Spry, though, but Carl reckons it's Spray. Song 2, a cover of Blur's Song 2.
Yes.
You wouldn't recognise it,
in
would
a
you?
Dub version, no.
In an old school reggae dub style.
Nice.
Lee.
Big 'em up.
Yeah. All that. Oh, we know all that.
Mm.
We know
all the wording. Yeah.
Oh, we know all that, yeah. So, yeah, that was quite interesting. I quite like that.
Yeah, that was not bad. Filled up 3 minutes.
Before that, Elvis Costello, Red Shoes.
Lovely.
What a great song.
Debut, was it? Debut single?
I think so. It's the first one I remember of his, but,
we'll probably give Elvis a call, won't we, and chat to him about it.
Yeah.
He's a pal now.
Yeah. The Elvis celebrity.
Yes. You, what, because you told me something else about your celebrity world that I thought might be of interest to the listeners. I don't know if you're happy to mention it.
What?
Your, forthcoming TV appearance?
Oh, yeah. I've been invited. I don't usually do these things.
Yeah.
But I sort of quite like the show. I've watched it for a while, so I'm at Room 101.
Have you seen this, Carl? Do you know that show?
Mm.
You don't like it?
No. But is it still Nick Hancock as well?
No.
Who is it?
Paul Merton.
God, is he still around? I've seen him for ages.
He's probably going to be a great pal of mine come Tuesday.
No, sir, I mean, that doesn't make any difference.
No.
Have you got all the channels tuned in right on your TV? Paul Merton's a huge star, he's on all the time.
Yeah.
No, is he a heck?
Yeah, he's on there. Have I Got News For You and all the rest of it?
Yeah.
What's the rest of it?
Well, anyway, look, Room 101 is the show.
Room 101?
Is the show where you put in the things you hate in this imaginary room.
And I thought I'd do it because it's real laugh, because, they let you speak and it seems like a bit of fun.
What are you going to put in it?
Oh, I'll ruin it, won't I, for all the listeners.
Oh, right, yeah. Switch off now if you don't want to hear what Ricky Gervais is going to put in Room 101.
I don't know, just things that irritate me. Like, I'm putting in noisy people who make unnecessary noise, for one thing. Like
right.
That. Right.
Can I just stop you there for just 1 second?
You know what you're going to say.
No. I was just thinking, I just wonder if there's a little case there of the pot calling the kettle black. Because you are the most annoying man ever in the history of all things. I've met a lot of people in my life, I like to think. Even everyone.
I mean,
21 I went to school with, who was possibly, an evil man, would throw things at people when, the teachers just throw stuff at them all the way through the lesson, throw things at the back of your head. Yeah. Even he was not as irritating as you are.
Really?
Just the fact that you're just crunching up a plastic spoon now. Well,
what's good is that?
It's annoying.
Yeah, I know, but
it's just, you're so irritating. You're always making the little noises, just little sounds all the time. We were working yesterday, right? And I was typing this, and he had an elastic band between his teeth, right? I don't know how he got. He just seems to end up with an elastic band between his teeth, right? And he was flicking it, so it was making a noise, boom, 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 boom. What were you saying? You were just going, the rain on Spain falls mainly on the plain.
The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plain.
Just kept doing that, right? Repetitively. Yeah. I said, what are you doing? What are you up to? He went, sorry. Tried to wrap the elastic band round his face, right? It flipped up, hit him in the nose. Right, he screamed, because that hurt, obviously, it came quite tight. And he said to me, if I can flip this elastic band and hit your glasses... right, not your face, but if I can hit your glasses, can I flip the elastic band at you? I went, well, how am I going to find out if you can... you might hit my face? He went, well, why don't you cover up the skin on your face, your nose and everything, with some paper.
Which he did!
Yeah, just to keep you happy.
Yeah.
And then he flicked it at me. So I grabbed it, flicked it at him. He ran off screaming, swearing at me. Well, don't frighten me.
I was saying, don't be so childish. Retaliation is childish. I did it first, so...
It's pathetic. Endlessly. Just this kind of...
No, type. But you agree with me on that people who just, I can't stand noisy eaters, people who go...
No,
like that.
No,
and,
I do agree with that.
And people eating crisps, as I said before, people eating crisps in cinemas.
Well, anyone who's making noise in the cinema. It's
I know, are they? They must be mental. They've gone to see a film, there's people they don't know there, everyone's paid £8.
And they're crunching away.
Oh, leaving their phones on!
I was in the cinema, there was a 16-year-old girl... Took a phone call in the cinema, the film was running, she said, and she went, hi, yeah, I'm in the cinema. Started having a conversation on the phone. I was thinking, how important is this call that you've got to receive? Oh, it's Tokyo ringing. Mr. Yakamoto's there, the deal's going through. It's Saturday afternoon, you should be up there hairdressers. I just was so... I was in the cinema.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Yakamoto's coming round tonight, and we can't use my pad, so you've got to make him a meal.
Yes.
Don't you and your wife muck things up for me.
But I was in the cinema, this is not long ago, and, I went to see that, I think I was off to see that film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or whatever it's called.
Well, they could be on the phone for that, because there's subtitles. So it's not going to ruin it, is it?
Yeah, it wasn't her. I was sat next to another woman. She was crunching, a big fat woman.
No, but he's got a good point there.
Loads of people could be on the phone in there, and it wouldn't sort of niggle you.
Fine. Well, at least we've cleared that.
Imagine if that was true.
No, because, it's like when you go on the tube and read a paper. There's loads of noise, but you can still concentrate, can't you?
He's got you. That's such a great point, isn't it?
Right, yeah, because it's so easy to lose yourself in that magic realism world, with all the sound effects and music and surging, exciting noise, and there's a woman clattering on going, yeah, well, I'll probably meet you later, Stange. Should we get some Diamond White in and around by the park?
Yeah.
Switch off. I do it.
Yeah, but we know what you're like, Carl.
Yeah, you can switch off, Carl.
It's like you can turn your ears off. That's the skill
well,
you
it's
have.
It's not the ears, it's the behind the ears.
Yeah.
It's the process that between the ears and the brain that you can switch off. So he can still hear all these things like a cat.
But I was in the room, there's this woman sat next to me, she was a big fan of one, she was crunching on some popcorn. Again, that's a crime. Why they're selling popcorn in cinemas. I don't understand why
she
the noisiest
to eat regularly,
why
that?
The noise why the noisiest food in a cinema?
Yeah.
I don't understand why that's come about.
Yeah.
Really makes me angry.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Smoothies. We want smoothies without straws.
Exactly. The trailer for that film AI, Artificial Intelligence, came on. Do you remember that? And the tagline was, David is 11 years old. He weighs 60 pounds. He's 4'6" tall. He has brown hair. His love is real, but he is not.
Oh yeah.
And she just went, how old was he again? To her boyfriend. Right? Just ruined it. War film trailer comes on for some Pearl Harbor or something. She goes, yeah, I don't fancy that. Just announcing this, don't fancy that. Too many war films. So then the trailer, then the opening credit comes on for Crouching Tiger. We know, well, before that, you know that thing that comes up that says it's signed by the BBFC and it has the kind of certificate and everything, and that certificate to say what age you have to be to see. That came up, and it says Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, in brackets, subtitles. She went, it's not subtitled, is it? I thought this was the most famous foreign film for years. It won Oscars, it was a huge film, everyone knew it was foreign. She goes, it went, so the credits begin, it says Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. She went, stupid name for a film.
What, she just
she paid to see it. She was with her boyfriend. So then it starts, right? And obviously it's in Japanese or Mandarin or something. She's like, you know, and they're doing, they're all talking in Japanese.
Japanese or Mandarin,
yeah, whatever. So they're speaking in this, you know, Japanese language, Oriental language. And she's going, don't they sound stupid? Don't they sound stupid? She's going, and then the subtitles come up, and it's quite a weird kind of strange language they're talking. And she's going, can't make the subtitles out either. It's both gobbledygook. Just wittering on every step
I
of the
agree
film.
With you. I totally agree with you, but what I like in your telling of it, I know you're sort of getting quite
I'm
emotional.
I'm genuinely livid.
But she went Mandarin or Japanese, some Oriental language.
Well, I don't know what else.
It's a strange language. It's a strange language.
Well, anyway,
oh, dear.
So then I moved. I climbed over several seats, made a big huff of, you know, make a big show of moving.
Yeah.
Sat next to a guy on the phone, just chatting on the phone.
Oh, the guy mental at that.
I was I hate that film. I didn't enjoy it. I don't like seeing it. I don't want to even think of it.
It's subtitles, isn't it?
Well, rubbish.
Rubbish.
That's why I get videos.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have thought that through, Carl. You're absolutely right.
Lamb Chop?
Yeah, let's play Lamb Chop. This is brilliant. This is from this CD that came out recently with the Uncut magazine. Occasionally they put out some quite interesting free CDs. And this was one that had various covers of Rolling Stones songs. And a lot of them were, you know, quite shoddy. But this was a brilliant, specially done, I think, for the CD. It's Lamb Chop doing a version of quite an obscure Rolling Stones song called Backstreet Girl. It's just beautiful. Let's hear it.
Andy Warhol's, get off. Getting a little bit blasé now. Steve's just wandered off to make the tea.
He's talking to Dermot.
Can he? Is he not really, is he?
Yeah.
Is he just down there? Can he hear this?
No.
That is a bit shoddy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not.
I'm good. Going to see Pop Idol tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think will win? Will or Gareth?
I don't care.
Don't you really?
No. It was in the...
Was I boring you? Sorry.
It was in Leicester Square, right? The little lad.
Yeah.
In, big coach with his head on the side.
Yeah.
I mean, how long's he been around?
An accident.
No, but do you know like those ones that footballers have?
Big heads.
No, that own coach, really big coaches. I mean, he's only a small
big
lad.
Coach. What like?
I don't know why he needs a
trainers. You
a
mean?
Big coach. Look, if you're just going to be like that, I'm not telling you.
Sorry, go on.
A big coach.
Yeah.
With his head on the side, and he came in. And
his picture.
Like,
his picture
yeah,
on the
yeah,
side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and about 200 kids screaming and going mental for him.
Really?
I just don't think it's right. No, it's not. I mean, it's been around for, what, a couple of weeks? And the way everyone keeps going on about his stuttering...
What, you think they should really concentrate on worshipping worthy sort of things like S Club 7 and A1 and...
Look...
Who have been around for a year?
So you pick on me when Steve's not
well, it's only a joke, Steve. Isn't it? Here he comes. Here he comes. He can't believe it.
But it's just the way, like, they keep going on about the stuttering.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, you were late. What are we meant to do?
Why are you playing on a record?
Oh, we can't possibly go on without Steve. Oh, we need Sting. What?
Hey, see, that's the reason you should do it without me. That meant nothing. I'll be a good reason not to let you have this cup of tea. But I will anyway.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks. Just saying that Carl thinks all this nonsense about Pop Idol is a little bit sort of shallow. Because they've not been around long enough to be worshipped by children.
You were saying there when you were talking.
Unlike Santa Claus, who's been around well. forever.
Yes. He was in Leicester Square in a big coach of his own.
Who was?
Gareth. He's only a small lad. He had the biggest coach I've ever seen.
A coach?
Yeah. One of those, like, National Express coaches.
He's just probably come down from wherever it is he lives.
No, with his head on the side.
What?
We went through this.
His own coach. Not like
you mean
a
like a tour bus?
Yeah, but with his head on the side.
With his face
so
on the side?
His own coach.
Was he driving it?
Was he really nasty? We can't have a toilet break yet. You had your chance. Yeah. Sit down.
Wait till we get the services.
I'm finishing this fag and then we're moving on.
And if you're not back from the toilets, I'm gone.
Yeah. It's a lovely restaurant here. All right, Jeff. Well, you know the people. Yeah, well, not my brother-in-law or anything.
It wouldn't have been quite as snappy as that if he'd been saying all that.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Everyone keeps talking about the stuttering, but they never go on about his asthma. And he's got really bad asthma.
They don't.
You're right, we should attack the asthma more as well.
Do you think he's held that back for the final? Do you think he's bringing out the big guns for the final? Oh, and by the way, I've got
Did you there's a breathing
in the way he does that?
Well, he's trying to... That's
not
therapy.
Asthma, Carl. That's him trying to breathe in order to help him speak.
That's a therapy.
Have you guessed about the asthma?
I can't you read that this or something. What you thought his asthma was because he goes... That's him. He has to do that to get over the stuff. But that's a therapist.
I haven't got bad asthma then.
What if you ever have kids?
Maybe he has got asthma.
When you cross a road, don't bother looking both ways.
Yeah.
Just walk straight across.
I love that. I made a doc saying that. Oh, not asthma. No, he does that. Like, has he? No, it's not asthma then. Okay, well, I'm stuck.
We better operate.
Don't operate. He's just, no, he just fell over.
No, yeah. I heard him breathing heavily. Probably got something lodged.
I've got a story about breathing heavily after this next record.
Really good.
Ferromunch. Got you. Although Steve thinks it's Ferromunk.
It makes more sense, don't you think? Munch is a bit of a rubbish word, whereas monk, brilliant.
Yeah, but
let's not discuss it.
No, let's not get into a big highfalutin.
Yeah, exactly.
Phonetics argument.
No.
They can call themselves what they want.
That's up to them.
And good luck to them.
Yep, good guys.
Now, I am going to Pop Idol tonight.
Yep.
This is what started it until he said there was a young kid being screamed at by kids because he had his own coach with his head on the side.
Yeah.
You did sort of like...
I don't know where you're going there, Rick, because you know who's going to win. It's going to be Gareth, and there's no...
Not necessarily.
Yes, it is. Oh, it is.
No.
Don't even fool yourself trying to drum up some excitement.
Well, look, wait. You see, they've both got about the same boat, and Darius has got like 1.5 million. Now, I don't think the Darius vote was sort of like the Gareth sort of floating voters. Because he's a cute kid and everything, and he sort of like looks like a pop idol, and but he's not as good a musician. And I think maybe when people went for Darius, they were a bit kitsch, but I think they might.
Do you want to make a wager?
Oh, well, I bet Gareth will win.
Exactly. You see, you may as well stay home, Rick. You just want to go to meet PJ and Duncan.
Yeah, they call themselves Out on Deck nowadays.
Well, fair enough.
They're my favourite.
They'll always be PJ and Duncan to me, and they're brilliant.
They are brilliant, aren't they? They're the best presenters.
There's no one else like on TV that kind of unites everyone. I don't think there's anyone really
who
can honestly say, if they're being honest, that they don't like Out on Deck.
I know.
It's like there's no one else like.
Phone
it.
In
no
if
one.
You don't like Out on Deck.
And I'd like to hear your arguments for it because and I'm not saying about this ironically. Oh, I like a couple of kids presenters ironically. I think they're genuinely good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're likeable. They're funny.
Yeah, and you can see they've got a great relationship as well.
They've got that sort of Morecambe and Wise every man appeal. They're brilliant.
Well, we love Ant and Dec.
Did you see in the week there was the fellow that Dominic Mohan in The Sun, he's the kind of entertainment guy.
Yeah.
And he had sort of ten questions that should be answered about Pop Idol because he thinks everyone's got a vested interest in Gareth winning. And there are various questions, one of which was why is it that what Gareth only seems to stutter when he's being interviewed live?
It's because he's nervous, isn't it?
Yeah. We've answered that one for you, Dominic. He was trying. You realised that he'd written a list. And he didn't really have enough to fill up 10.
Although you were nasty about his stutter. You said it annoys you.
No, I'm not arguing that... the stutter annoys me. His query was he thought that he was affecting the stutter.
How
in order
could
to win
be
the
annoyed at someone stuttering, though?
It really annoys me, because it's just embarrassing. It's cringeworthy. See, the thing is this. I know people say, it shouldn't be an issue, right? We're talking about a pop idol. Now, everyone accepts the fact that he's got to be a good-looking guy to be a pop idol. We all accept that. And I'm saying I also want him to be able to speak properly to be my pop idol. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having a stutter.
But that's
true.
Body fascism.
Yeah, there should also be a vocal fascism.
Yeah, but there's not a trauma if you don't look like a pop star. There is a trauma in society if you can't speak normally. So it's
what
a much
a
bigger issue.
His trauma
Well, yeah, of course it is.
I'm not arguing about what we think, because a lot of people think that, a lot of people get abused if they're ugly. I mean, I'm guessing. I'm assuming that's the case.
Well, I can't speak very well.
No, I don't know if that's the case, but...
We've made one great pop star between
us.
I
don't think so.
My looks and your talky. Oh. Although you sound like some sort of weird Wurzel.
I'm not trying to be a pop idol.
Alright.
People can idolise me in their own small ways.
Oh, God. Look at us three. Imagine if we tried to be like BB Mac. Or light funky ones. I'm just thinking of like three good looking guys. Genesis.
Did I mention about when we were in America? Did I mention that last week?
The police. No.
Did I mention this to you, Carl?
Oh.
I mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
When I was in America at a wedding, went to a wedding with some friends. We were walking through America, there's five of us walking down the street in New York, and a car pulls up and some Chinese tourists lean out and they went to us, "Excuse me, are you NSYNC?" And we said, "Yes, we are." And they were taking our photo and stuff.
Just think of Steve. At the back, that are like 2 foot taller than
which
the other.
Which member of NSYNC is 2 foot taller than all the rest?
Don't Chinese people like tall people or something?
Right, play record.
No, seriously.
No, because it's... I
don't think you know what you're talking about,
yeah.
Carl. We're likely to get in dangerous territory.
Yeah. Don't Chinese people like tall people?
There's something that... I'm sure. Do you know, like I was...
Phone in if you're Chinese and you like
Carl,
tall people.
Carl, what worries me is that when they did Chinese lessons, you were down the beach in Wales.
In Ruth Maddock.
Paul Maddock. Oh. Do you want to play Lou Reed?
Oh, this is Song for the Lovers. It's a beautiful track. It's Satellite Love. It's classic. It's gorgeous. It's Lou Reed.
Rick, can I dedicate this to someone?
Go on, then.
Carl, you shouldn't have pressed the button.
Well, Daddy's doing his job. You shouldn't have said, can I dedicate this to someone?
We've had a letter.
Yeah.
Sophie wants to dedicate a song to her boyfriend, Peter. They're firm fans of the show. Let's play Satellite of Love for them. By
yeah,
Reed,
beautiful. Fun. Song for the Lovers.
Don't ruin it this time, Carl. Oh, brilliant. How to ruin a song? Ricky Gervais. Do you want to explain what you were doing?
I was just singing along to the backing vocal.
You're not just singing along.
Doing it like a mental.
Well, just give us a buzz.
Well, I haven't got my headphones on. I've got to do it in time, haven't I now? Because wait, was it? Is it finished?
It's finished, man.
And it was just going, when Bowie, well, I'm very good. Satellite. I was going, ah, like that.
Yeah. But you, in Room 101, you're going to put irritating people.
But it's something nice what I'm making.
Are you
going to
climb down that little thing and climb in yourself?
Yeah, maybe.
You know they have sort of a visual representation of the thing that irritates them. They always have that, like Shakespeare, that would be a bust of Shakespeare's head. Just a bit of you.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Oh, dear. Bowie in the background, Satellite Love, Song for the Lovers. I should have liked Song Along on Air.
I love the idea of you when that came out, you know, sort of 17, got a girl back to your place, you know. Just making out with her. Just that record on in the background, you just going, ow! I'm going to have to shoot off now, right? Ow! Just hang me to it, I'll enjoy myself. Ow! I'll finish myself off. Ow!
Oh, dear! Oh, you can't do that!
Oh, we've cheapened that song. Oh. You've ruined that song forever for me, though.
No, I haven't.
But it's... See, the thing about Lou Reed is... Because Perfect Day, just a genius song. But we can never play it now, can we? Because of that BBC
act. No, because I'll tell you what. What's her name coming in at the end? M People.
Yeah.
That thing she does with her voice.
That song. There's a couple of songs that have kind of... Like, I always remember...
And who's that one that goes... It's such a perfect day!
Yeah, it's like an opera ponce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a song. Any other songs ruined because of their association with things? That song, First Time, which was on the Coke ad. First time, first love.
Wasn't that Fallen on Blondes?
Yeah. Oh, that was Robin Givens.
Robin Givens. What was the... Didn't Fallen on Blondes do something like that?
No,
I just keep seeing Fallen on Blondes in the playlist.
I think Fallen on Blondes just ruined their own career by writing songs.
Yeah.
It's becoming a feature.
Yeah, we should play Fallen on Blondes one week.
Rick, I was going to say something to you before we got sidetracked. What were we talking about, Carl? Oh, we were talking about...
We nearly lost it then a bit, but I think we pulled it back.
It's okay. No, we had a fascinating fact that we were going to...
Oh, yeah. If everyone in China, Carl...
This is true, Carl.
Right,
Carl, wake up and listen.
Listen. If everyone in China... jumped... It wouldn't be hard to coordinate. They did hands across America. They did up yours, the laws. Right? We can coordinate this. We can get the sun involved or something, right? Everyone, a billion, 1.2 billion or something, jumped up and down at the same time.
Shut up. You're not saying this clearly.
It would cause a tidal wave that would destroy America.
If every person in China jumped up at the same time, that would cause a tidal wave that would destroy America, apparently, according to physics.
According to physics?
I don't believe it.
It's true. It's a fact. We're not making this up. We both know this is a fact.
We're not making it up. We've heard it, but obviously, I don't know. I don't know what that's based on. Someone going, just had a terrible thought, Mr. President. What is it? No, you know the atomic bomb and all that? Yeah, forget it. Forget it. If everyone in China jumped up and down, they'd wipe us out. Right. You know what I mean?
See, there should be some Chinese leader just threatening them with that.
Yeah, just showing them a picture of everyone just poised.
just pictures of China people just crouching.
On pogo sticks.
Exactly.
Just a billion
or
Chinese
just
people.
Just all stood on the Great Wall of China. About to jump off. That'd be brilliant.
Oh, dear.
God, he's dumbfounded. He's scared now.
He's scared now, isn't he?
But there's more chickens in the world than people.
Oh, play record.
Well, that's brilliant.
That piece getting tight.
What an amazing track.
Incredible. No one else is playing that on a Saturday afternoon, Rick?
No.
Are they?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I mean that in a good way. I mean that, like, we're breaking new territory. Like, playing songs from the early
70s. It's got to win the best. Oh, no. I think Dr. Fox or Simon Bates said that about a track once.
Really?
This has got to be the best intro of a rock song ever. The fact that I was saying it about The Who and he was saying it about Money for Nothing is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Someone made me sit in their car once with their new car stereo system so that they could play me the beginning of Money for Nothing.
Oh.
Just sat there and was like, yeah.
Have we got that? You've probably got that in the library, haven't you?
Is it right that Roger Daltrey in The Who.
Yeah, that's right.
His kid is in EastEnders, that one who plays Robbie. Something my mum told me, and I don't know if she's got it right or wrong.
What,
Rob? It does look like him.
That's Dean Gaffney.
Yeah. But he didn't want to go off his dad's name and that, so he's changed.
So he used his brilliant talent. And his pox face.
Do you know if that's right?
I don't know.
It looks like him, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sure that's libelous if it's wrong.
Oh, right, yeah, you'd be ashamed to have Roger Daltrey as your dad.
Well, no, but Roger Daltrey might not want it getting round that he gave birth to Specky.
Yeah, right, actually.
I see what you mean.
Specky? Spotty?
Spotty, so I looked at you.
Yeah. All right, calm down.
Well, I don't know, you've got nice clear skin. At least I didn't call you Spotty Goggle-Eyed Freak Boy. You've got a nice skin, not a nice complexion, smooth-faced, goggle-eyed freak boy fish.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's been nice.
Carl, what? Don't you like us arguing? Is it like Mum and Dad arguing? Do you get all...
It's a bit like that.
In the caravan. There was nowhere to escape to.
Oh no, rattling round.
Did you make any friends when you were down on the caravan site?
Yeah, a lot of people from Birmingham were there.
What kind of pals did you have? What were their names?
I can't remember, it was years ago, but they all had rich parents.
Right.
Like, they had, like, their own car to drive around the campsite on and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I...
Their own fence.
So I'd have a
And but they were mates, and you saw them every year, did you? Or every 3 weeks when you went down there?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't keep in touch with any of them?
No.
I'll admit now, I went to the same place in a caravan for about 6 years running. I went to a place called Riverside in Bognor, because someone round the corner from us had a caravan, two-berth caravan. Me, my mum, and my nan.
I think I'm really lucky to have had it, really. Because a lot of mates who I had didn't have enough money to go on holiday, and they just get a present for the summer holiday.
I would just like, of course,
they've got an education, so it's really...
Yeah, but Carl, the thing is with Carl is, right, I want to give him gifts.
Yeah.
I want him to have the loveliest Christmas ever. I want him to go pony trekking. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I want to just...
Scare the horses.
So many things we don't know about Carl.
Fell off one out of fate, and the woman didn't know what to do. She couldn't handle the horse. It was running off. I was hanging underneath, getting a kick in the head.
No. Really?
Now, hang on, what age were you? This could explain a lot.
I was about 6.
That makes a lot of sense. Oh, I think we've got the bottom of it here.
Oh, no, got kicked in the head by a horse, lived in a caravan, and had to live in Wales half the time.
Oh.
Then no wonder this is your favourite time of the week. Do you look forward to this all week, these 2 hours?
It's alright.
What would make you truly happy, Carl? Do you mind me just asking that? What would make you truly happy in life?
I was thinking about it in the week and I don't know.
You don't know? There's nothing that you particularly want that you feel like once I've got that...
Well, the easy answer there is money, isn't it? But
I don't know.
I don't know if it's true.
No, you know, you just need enough money.
Do you feel spiritually satisfied?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Carl, have you embraced the good word of the Lord?
What do you mean?
Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
We're having a meeting tomorrow. It's in the church hall, and we'd like you to come along.
I went to a church.
I got to do this. I got this housemate who I don't know that well, and I've been living with him for about two months or something, right?
Yeah.
And he's in the kitchen, he's washing up, and I just turned to him, like, and he doesn't know me that well because we sort of talk to each other now, but we don't know. And I just turned to him. I went, Matt, have you got to know the good word of the Lord? And he went, and he looked at me with utter fear in his face. And I just went, I just think we should sit down a bit and, you know, just talk about, you know, the word of the Gospels. And he just looked at me, and he was utterly petrified. And I just started laughing, cracking up. And it's the sigh of relief. He was absolutely petrified. It's a brilliant game to play if you're getting a lift on a long car journey with people you don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it
just bring that out.
Yeah.
It's so terrifying.
Yeah.
I went once.
If you're also another good one is when you pick up a hitch, I say, like, I wonder what this car would look like on fire.
Exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I like to drive the wrong way down the motorway.
Yeah, yeah. Would you, what does a knife feel like when it's going into your eye? What?
Did you see that story in the week with a farmer who got his arm stuck in a bit of machinery? And he was going on about, I mean, he came on with a false arm, so he knew something was wrong straight away. But,
you knew it wasn't going to last, happily.
But he was, he said, I'm a farmer, I've been a farmer for years, and I'm always telling people, don't stick your hands in machines. He said, but I got off my tractor and the machine had stopped, and he went to shift some, I don't know, if it was a Coke can or something like that. That was in the field and the machine.
But he caged.
This is not the famous one that about 15. And he took his arm to the hospital, and he was making jokes. His arm was in ice.
He didn't take his. No. It was his hand went in and the machine started again.
Yeah.
And it started pulling at his skin.
Oh.
Right. So like the skin was coming off his arm.
Yeah.
And it was going around the rollers, and he's pulling back like that. So he's like, oh god. Yeah. And the skin's like being wrapped around, and it's like pulling it. So he can see his bone and stuff.
Oh, no.
And he was there for like ages going, oh, God. And he had a pen knife in his pocket. So he got that out with the other hand, managed to open it. I mean, that's
yeah, because they stick, don't they, after a while. I've got one of those Swiss Army knives.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I can't do it with two hands sometimes once they get all full of gunk.
He managed to do that with one hand
and
cut away at the skin.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah.
Has he learned to farm again, like the drummer of Def Leppard? Let's learn to drum again.
And they got like just like the handles.
Can
he like
farm now with just one arm.
It was good because he was making a joke out of it. And that.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's good. But
that doesn't mean you can, Steve. Though.
No, sure.
He had to cut his own flesh off to escape a combine harvester.
Yeah.
He doesn't need you. You know.
Making voice cracks.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure. I just always remember getting a hot plate out of the oven when I was younger, and that absolutely killed.
Yeah.
It stuck to my fingers, and I just thought the pain that he must have been going through.
Yeah. Must have been what? Must have been worse than a hot plate.
Oh.
Must have been worse than maybe dropping a pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
XFM.
That's nearly it.
That is pretty much it.
XFM 104.9. Fast approaching 3 o'clock.
It is indeed. Is that pretty much it, Carl? Is this our last link?
I'd wrap it up.
Yeah?
Yeah,
so would I, actually. It's song for the ladies' time. And this is a song you put me onto, Rick.
It's a beautiful song.
You recall. Special View, a.k.a. Telescopic Love from The Only Ones. The B-side of Another Girl, Another Planet, their only hit, maybe?
I think one of them. But,
some great stuff on the best of the ones, which it's just a band kind of...
Another Girl, Another Planet, that might be up for the best intro in a rock and roll record of all time. I'll put up Won't Get Fooled Again and Another Girl, Another Planet. Foxy, he's already putting up Money for Nothing.
Exactly.
So maybe we'll run that competition next week.
Yeah, although Walk of Life is particularly good. Here comes Johnny singing all these goldies, Bebopalula, baby, here I...
Oh, jeez.
Oh, nonsense. Walk of Life. Okay, so this is a special view from The Only Ones, a song for the ladies, and that's it. See you next
time. Goodbye.